Hey Hawkeye fans, Chad Lystico, Des Moines Register, Tuesday edition of the Hawk Central subscriber podcast. Big one this week, Kennington Smith, as it's number three versus number four, the first top five matchup in Kinnick Stadium since 1985. First top five matchup even for the mighty Penn State program since 1999. It does not get too much bigger than this too often, and it's just kind of crazy that we're at this point here in mid-October, is it not?
Absolutely. It's I couldn't have imagined that when I first took this job that I would be covering a top five matchup this early on, which is no slight to Iowa or Penn State, but I don't think that, you know, either of us could have predicted that things would have escalated this quickly. We have 2-5-0 teams, but it's incredibly exciting. That was a huge talking point today amongst the players and the coaches, that obviously you want to take things one game at a time and you want to take things one day at a time. But this is, you know, something to cherish in a way, and it might not be something that they will put that much stock into or look that deeply into right now, but I know Spencer Petras said this is something that he's going to look back on after the season and just later on down the road, that, you know, he was fortunate enough and both teams are fortunate enough to play in a game like this, because this doesn't come around too often. There are so many college players who go their entire careers and never play, you know, even in a ranked game, much less a top five game with major playoff implications. So very exciting time, and I just can't wait to see what the rest of this week unfolds.
Yeah, it was fun to hear the players talk about it. I definitely would say they appreciate the opportunity, no question about it. It did seem like, you know, they were pretty on message or whatever with, you know, not making this too big a deal. However, I think they know it is a big deal, and they're going to try to appreciate that. I think Kirk Ferentz mentioned, you know, to expect a little bit heightened sense of energy in Kinnick Stadium on Saturday. And so just being ready to deal with that is a big deal. I mean, he said, yeah, Penn State's probably played in a lot of these big games too, but I don't know if they – I mean, like I said, it's Penn State's first tough I've matched since 1999. So it's not like these – like you said, it's not like these come around, you know, where it's just unbeaten versus unbeaten. So pretty nuts, and that's kind of where I wanted to just focus this show. We're going to get into the nitty-gritty of previewing Iowa versus Penn State with our radio show on Wednesday night. That is going to be the sole purpose of that show. We will not look back much on Maryland at all, if any. So I guess what I wanted to kind of talk about now, Kennington, is I'm not really accustomed to talking about the national picture that much. I know when you follow Georgia, you know, the Bulldogs are in the mix all the time, but this is new territory. What are the stakes right now this week? I mean, yeah, it'd be awesome for the Hawkeye fans if their team won this game, but what happens? Let's start with the good stuff. What happens if Iowa wins this game on Saturday? What orbit do the Hawkeyes go into next?
To win this game, I feel like firmly places them right in the thick of the college football playoff discussion with Alabama and Georgia. I think that when we look at the national landscape, it's pretty much understood that Alabama and Georgia are right now the two top teams. There's a lot of conversation about who is that third team, who is going to be that team that is going to kind of join that tier of a legitimate title contender and an elite team. Iowa's in position for that right now. Penn State's in position for that right now. Cincinnati, sure. Oklahoma, even Michigan, Ohio State, Notre Dame. Not Notre Dame. They just lost. But all the other teams
Oklahoma State.
Right. All of these teams have an argument in one way or another to be right there on the outskirts of that conversation. Iowa already had two ranked wins already on their resume, the rankings notwithstanding now, but they've already beaten a top 10 team already. To beat a top five team, I feel like, would cement them right there firmly in the mix with Alabama and Georgia. And honestly, they might have that would probably be the most impressive win of the group. Georgia did beat Clemson early in the year, and Clemson has fallen off. But now we're looking at where Penn State is and what they've done in the magnitude of this game. To this point, this would probably be the biggest win of the season, honestly. Yeah. So this is a huge statement game. And then also, when we're talking about the national conversation, what you said about this not being a regular thing for a program like Iowa. This is a major, major opportunity to advance the football brand nationally. This is a game where
that's true.
All of the eyes are going to be on Iowa. I know personally, coming from Georgia, we I don't want to say this disrespectfully, but when we look at the Big Ten, we look at
but
it.
But I will. No, I'm just kidding.
We look at it from the lens of, you know, we watch the Big Ten and we think of Ohio State, we think of Michigan, more traditional blue blood programs. But I have a lot of friends and family back home in Georgia telling me, like, we are tuning into this game and we want to see Iowa play, because a lot of people just haven't seen them, you know, on a stage
that's a great point, playing
on national television like this. So this is an opportunity for casual watchers of college football, and maybe people who don't follow the Big Ten as closely, to tune in and see what Iowa's all about, to see a packed out Kinnick, to see that atmosphere against a program that that they recognize, obviously, in Penn State. So it really can't be understated how important this game is nationally.
Yeah, you made a great point there, Kinnick. I hadn't really even thought about it that way, that there are new viewers kind of coming into this game saying, hey, what's Iowa all about? Because I've been spending a lot of time the last 48 hours or so listening to what the national people are saying about this matchup, just because I'm curious, you know, as what is the viewing of Iowa? And it seems like it's really, really favorable. And I'm not used to, even when Iowa has pretty good seasons, like in 2015, I'm not accustomed to hearing that on a national level. Like, a lot of 2015 talk was, oh, this Iowa team is so lucky, we can't have them in the playoff. I mean, that was kind of the theme. But I feel like this Iowa team, for whatever reason, I think probably winning at Iowa State and Indiana right away, home against Indiana, helped that you know, their national brand this early, I guess. And I think people, I don't know, that's a really good point. People want to see, is this Iowa team for real? I mean, I think five games in, I mean, they're definitely a really good team.
Right.
And they're facing another really good team right now. But, yeah, that's a good point. It's a big recruiting weekend, too, huge recruiting weekend. I know our recruiting reporter, Alyssa Hurdle, is writing about that this week as well. It's just, every time I look at Twitter, I see like 10 retweets of like people, I'm coming to Kinnick, you know, from like Florida and Illinois and Ohio and everywhere. You know, it seems like, I know I was talking to Reggie Bracey's mom for a story I'm working on this week. Her son is going to be at Kinnick as a recruit, Reggie Bracey's younger brother. So, I mean, just it's just crazy how much attention is on this game. Can Iowa handle it?
Right. And that's going to be something that's going to be a talking point amongst us media members the rest of the week. But they have had some experience with this, playing at Iowa State. That was a huge game at that point, going in their top 10 matchup. So they had to kind of handle it from that perspective. I mean, even the game last week with Maryland, even though it technically wasn't a ranked game, that was the only marquee game on national TV that day. It was a huge spotlight for Iowa. And I think, going back to your point about people looking at Iowa as a legitimate team, this is yet just another game to where people are looking at Iowa from the lens of the team that they're playing is the one that is the team that's supposed to have this statement win off of Iowa. Indiana had a breakout year last year, and the talk was Michael Penix is back healthy.
Yep.
This is going to be a dynamic offense. How's Iowa going to respond? And the next week you have Iowa State, and this is the biggest rivalry game in history. And Iowa State, this is the highest ranked team they've ever had, and this is going to be their statement win. And then you have last week against Maryland, and and Tua and his Talia, and his passing statistics, and Maryland is 4-0, and this is a national spotlight for them.
Yeah.
And every single time Iowa has passed the test, and they've been the one that has kind of broken up the party in the way it was supposed to be kind of a coming out party for the other teams, and then Iowa has kind of have dominated all of those matchups. So this is again another opportunity for Iowa to be on the stage. And now Iowa's kind of on the opposite side of the spectrum. Like, this could be their breakout win a national program like Penn State, who has recently, I mean, they've been in the New Year Six, they've won the Big Ten more recently than Iowa. They're kind of in that position where Iowa's building up the last several years of trying to get to that point. So statement winning recruits, obviously this is an exciting time to be recruited by Iowa, to be in Kinnick. Like you said, this is historic. So all ages, young and old, you know, want to be focused in and zeroed in on Iowa. And it's crazy that for the second time in the last few weeks, the center of the college football world has centered in on this state.
Crazy. See what happens when you come here, man. Who knew? Who knew? It's such a okay. Let's stick to that conversation of what if Iowa wins. We'll get to what if Iowa loses this weekend. But if Iowa wins, I mean, really, the goal here is we look at the national landscape here. I mean, now that they're 5-0, the goal has to be, can Iowa get in the playoff, obviously? Can they win a Big Ten championship? So to win a Big Ten championship, got to get to the Big Ten championship game. So if Iowa is just 2-0 in the Big Ten, there's 9 Big Ten games in the season, so they got to win 7 more to be 100% assured that they're in the Big Ten title game. Now, if they lose this one, let's not get to the lose. If they win this one, that creates even more wiggle room in terms of what's, you know, sustaining a loss. Let's say they lose to, I don't know, at Wisconsin or at Nebraska, but then go beat Ohio State, you know, 11-1. They're in the Big Ten title game, 11-1 Iowa versus 11-1 Ohio State, let's say. Let's just throw that out there, 11-1 Michigan, whatever, 12-0 Michigan. Then I think Iowa, I mean, we'll see, but it just seems like right now the ACC doesn't really have a real strong case at the college football playoff table. With Oregon's loss, the Ducks seem to be, I'm not saying they're out at all because they beat Ohio State, but you can see the Pac-12 has some cracks already. I think, you know, Oregon's pretty much going to have to run the table to have a shot. We'll see what happens with Big 12, but I just haven't been that impressed with Oklahoma yet. I feel like they're not going to hold up. So, man, I do think the Big Ten champion probably gets in as long as it has one loss.
100%. So, I would even take it a step further. I feel like they went – okay. I feel like the Big Ten champion potentially is really – I don't want to say a lock because you don't know what's going to happen, but let's say things play out pretty much kind of how we expect things to play out. I feel like the Big Ten champion is probably going to be the number 2 seed in the playoff. You have Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah.
Georgia and Alabama are 1-2.
Yeah.
When they play, regardless of what's going to happen, both of those teams are probably going to make the playoffs. Somebody's going to slide down to 3. You're not going to put them at 4 because you're not going to have, I guess, a rematch in the first round of the playoffs. Someone's going to slide to 3. The Big Ten right now is definitively the second best conference, if not the best conference right now in college football. I think you can make that case when you look at the top maybe 15 teams in the country. Whoever wins the conference, I feel like, is firmly at number 2. We'll see what happens with Oklahoma. Like you said, they could fall to Texas on Saturday. Texas all the way back at 23. It would probably be a very strong uphill climb for them to make it all the way to 4 from 23. But you never know what's going to happen. Cincinnati is right there. I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, even if Oregon was to win out, you really can't put them above the Big Ten champion when you consider how many ranked teams.
Unless it's Ohio State. I mean, if it's Ohio State, you could.
Right. That is true. But then it's like, even if it's Ohio State, how many ranked teams would Ohio State have to have beaten to even be the Big Ten champion?
Right. So, I mean, they're already ranked ahead of Oregon again, I saw.
Right.
So it didn't take long. I mean, just think if they beat Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, you know, and Iowa.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's a good point.
So now I'm looking at the Big Ten. When you have all of these ranked teams as strong as the conference has been, top to bottom, considering the path to winning the Big Ten, it would almost be inconceivable for me to put another conference champion above them in playoff rankings, considering the depth of all the other conferences that aren't the SEC.
Yeah. So that's a great argument for what a win does for this Hawkeye team if they could win this and get to 6-0 on Saturday. Certainly no guarantees going forward, but then you get into the Big Ten West the rest of the way. So you get all 6 Big Ten West games after that, starting with Purdue, then it's at Wisconsin, at Northwestern, home against Minnesota, home against Illinois, at Nebraska. It's not easy. I mean, I don't think it's easy. Some people out in the country might, you know, the national people, I mean, like, you know, I've already heard them say, oh, after this, Iowa's schedule really lightens up. I don't see it that way, personally, because I know what it's like to play at Wisconsin, and I know that Nebraska is starting to look a lot better. And I know what Purdue does to Iowa every year and Northwestern. So, yeah, nothing will be easy. And Minnesota's, you know, I think better than people realize. But anyway, but yeah, that's there's a lot of good things that happen with the win because let's say Iowa does not make the playoff, but they are the second best team in the Big Ten when we get to December. Rose Bowl.
100% in New Year's.
I mean, that is the Rose Bowl gets the Big Ten. I mean, right. Is a non-playoff game this year. So Iowa would be back in the Rose Bowl if they don't make the playoff and they're like 11-1 or whatever, 12-1.
Right.
What would it be? Yeah, 11-2, something like that.
I think a win on Saturday, and again, I don't want to say this in a way that is like I'm overlooking all the other teams that they're going to play the rest of the way, but a win over Penn State, let's say they don't lose any more than two games the rest of the way, which I don't think that's that likely. I feel like they would have to almost be a lock for a New Year's Six game, even if it's not the Rose Bowl. They could be at large for the Fiesta Bowl. It just kind of depends on what happens in the East because that's where all of the ranked teams are. All of those teams are going to have to play each other eventually.
Right.
Most of those teams are pretty much going to end up with at least one loss. Some of them are going to have two losses by the end of the way.
They have to. Yeah.
Looking at the rankings, Iowa with their win over Penn State would firmly be, I feel like, ranked ahead of most of those teams when you're looking at, you know, who's most deserving for a New Year's Six spot at that point in time. They would probably pretty much be a lock to at least Rose, Peach, Fiesta. There's a lot of at-large spots available. So a win like this would, you know, cement them in terms of, you know, right now positioning, and then later on down the road positioning, and then we're continuing the conversation of national brand, all of those things to play at the highest, you know, level of bowl game at the end of the year. I mean, that's pretty much all you can hope for at the end of the day when you're setting your goals for the season. So a win would just almost kind of take them out of the almost out of the stratosphere, you would think.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine a six game start to a season being any better for Iowa football than if they were to beat a top 10 Iowa State team on the road, beat a ranked Indiana team, go on the road and dismantle an unbeaten Maryland team, and then beat a top 5 Penn State team unbeaten. I'm not saying Penn State's one of the 5 best teams in the country. You know, I don't even know if Iowa is, but certainly they are very good. Looking at them on film, we will get into that more in the Hawk Central show. Iowa is favored. Iowa's favored by 2.5 points, depending on where you look. Over under 41.5 or 42. So expecting a low scoring game. But Iowa is favored. So it does go to show that there is an expectation here that Iowa can definitely win this game. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. And playing at home, huge advantage. Huge.
It is.
Huge advantage.
It should be. Should be. Now, Iowa has lost 3 straight home games against Penn State. So 2012. That game unfolded horribly. Iowa had 2 season-ending injuries to offensive linemen, including Brandon Sheriff, the number one or first-round draft pick, tackle, Outland Trophy winner in that game, and had that game fall apart on them. And then 2017, 2019, they lost really tight games, 21-19, 17-12. So anyway, go ahead. But it should be an advantage. I mean, it's they're 4-1 in their last 5 games against top 5 teams at Kinnick, which is a crazy record.
Right. And then when I say, you know, huge advantage, obviously the crowd is going to be ruckus. It's going to be the first sellout of the season. But especially after on the heels of not having any fans last year, how many fans could have predicted that they will be seeing a top 5 matchup that quickly coming back to Kinnick? So
exactly.
it's going to be rocking in there. I just feel like it's just going to be, the energy is going to be so thick in the stadium on that day with just all the elements, everything that's going on. Marshall Yon is going to get honored, on the ANF wall. It's just going to be so much happening. It's going to be so exciting. Like, the energy and the juice is just going to be like electric. I've looked across other media members at, you know, covering other beats, and they say, you know, when we're here, the press box is like shaking because the fans are so loud. I don't know if it's possible for a press box, for the Kinnick press box to shake. But, you know, if it is possible, I would imagine that it's going to get pretty loud in there. The decibel levels are going to be crazy. And Kayvon Merriweather spoke to this today when talking about Sean Clifford. we hope that the energy is so crazy in the stadium that, you know, it will force Penn State to make some mistakes. I feel like I always parallel back to Georgia, but that is the other team that I watch as closely, you know, as I do Iowa. And when I watched that Arkansas game, and for those of you who may not have watched it, they false started before the ball was even snapped the first two plays because it was just so loud in there. Yeah. And I'm not, you know, it could – maybe that could happen. It might not happen. But just that just goes to show, like, how much crowd noise can affect – and offense, their communication, what they're doing. And he said that he is kind of hoping for a similar type of atmosphere in this game that will force Penn State's offense to make some unusual mistakes, because if you've been paying attention to their turnover differential and how Penn State is playing, they have not turned the ball over many times this year. So, you know, any type of advantage that Iowa can have that can kind of force Penn State into making some unusual mental errors, they're going to take for sure.
Yeah, and that's been the theme of the season for the Hawkeyes is make other quarterbacks uncomfortable and make them turn the ball over and make them throw it away. And so, yeah, that's a really good point and something we can definitely watch for on Saturday. If Iowa loses this game, you've laid out such a great case for Iowa, you know, for what could be possible, I guess, if especially with these recruits coming in. I mean, just big-time recruits. Xavier Wampa is coming in, Caden Proctor from Southeast Polk, the first two five stars from Iowa in like 20 years. You know, they're coming here to see this game. It's just there's so much good stuff that can happen with a win. But what if they lose? If they lose, is it – I guess, I mean, it maybe depends on what type of game it is. If it's just some like, you know, classic, you know, 35-34 where the whole college football world is like, you know, applauding the quality of the game. Iowa maybe falls what, two or three spots in the polls at most.
Six at the most.
I mean, they probably don't go out of the top 10 for sure unless they just get blown out. So it's not like they would be out of the national spotlight. Everything would still be on the table, as we outlined, because I think a one loss Big Ten champ gets there, especially with how good the East is. But Iowa would then have to be pretty perfect the rest of the way, I think, if they wanted to get that playoff seat. I'm not here to say Iowa is a playoff team, but it's just they're in that conversation now. So a loss and that margin for error really gets thin, and that's you'd rather have more margin for error for an injury or whatever. We've seen this happen.
Absolutely. If we're looking at it from, let's say, Iowa goes 12-0 and loses in the Big Ten championship game, you could still make the case that they are a playoff team. If they were to lose this one, make it to the Big Ten. Any loss after this, two losses is pretty much the kiss of death when we're talking about playoff.
Yeah, no two-loss team has made it.
Right, so two losses would effectively take them out of the playoff race. But even with a loss on Saturday, you never want to lose, but this is not one of those. This would not be a type of loss where it's like all of this hype and anything that they want that is presently ahead of them would be lost if they lost this game. Mm-hmm. Everything that they want would still be ahead of them. It would just have to be – there would just be no margin for error. They have to literally be perfect the rest of the way. So that's the lens that I'm looking at it from. You never – want to lose, but the sky would not fall, in my opinion, if they were to lose. Two teams are undefeated. Penn State's won 9 in a row. Iowa's won 11 in a row. Something is going to have to give in this game, and it's not going to be an indictment on either team, you know, should they lose. But playoffs would get a little bit murkier, the picture at least. New Year's Six, Rose Bowl, all of those things would still firmly be there, but the margin of error would just be razor thin.
Yeah, it would, but good. All good analysis there. Anything else? We will, like I said, we will get into the game, nitty gritty of the game in our Hawk Central Radio Show on Wednesday. This is kind of our chance to give you a feel from the press conferences today. Really, I would say no news. Iowa's injury free for the most part. Feel bad for Dante Dimas of Maryland, the young man that Sebastian Castro hit with that forced fumble. He's out for the year. That stinks for him. Hate that for him. But I don't know. I guess nothing else really stood out to me today in interviews. I mean, I just was doing game preview type interviews. But, yeah, these guys, I just got a really like I've gotten all season a really positive, confident vibe. I mean, Sam Laporta to me was just like, yeah, there's we can do some things. It's out there.
Right.
I think that's what I got.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the reason why maybe there wasn't this kind of feel of like there wasn't any news or there wasn't anything that sticks out kind of goes back to the point that I made earlier. I feel like through five games, and especially after what happened in the Maryland game, any questions as far as like super, super concerning red flags on Iowa's team, they've pretty much answered them all. At this point, it's just kind of like we know what type of team they had. The offensive line had a really great game, bounce back game. Running game had a bounce back game.
Yep.
The defensive line has answered pretty much every question. Petras has answered almost every question. The offense, when put in the position that they've been put in through five games, has executed really well. We already know what the defense is about. Special teams is elite. So as far as areas of criticism, maybe things that we could look at in terms of like, what are we looking for them to accomplish in this game? What minor tweak can they make in that game that's going to push them forward? They've pretty much done all of those things, compounded interest these first 5 weeks on top of each other. And now it's like, okay, now that we've kind of not necessarily gotten past that, but now that it's not that big of a talking point, it's like solely focused on what's going to happen on Saturday and what that could mean for the rest of the way.
Good stuff, man. Let's get you out of here. We gotta get back to work. We got stories to write all week. I think we put something on the budget. Each of us put something on the budget for every day this week. And I know our colleague Dargan Southard also has some stories coming. We've got Alyssa Hurdle, like I said, a recruiting reporter, doing stuff in advance of this Iowa Penn State game. So your Hawk Central subscription definitely getting your money's worth this week for sure. And of course, we'll have a subscriber podcast after the game on Saturday. All right, man. Let's huddle up and break and get to it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, folks. Take care. And we will have the Hawk Center radio show at 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on KXNO Wednesday night. Kennington and I will carry you through that hour as we have been of late. Take your calls and get into this matchup because these two teams are so evenly matched. I mean, look across the board. It's crazy. They got players on both sides of the ball. Penn State's got a great receiver. I think both quarterbacks are tested now, and it's just going to be a fun matchup to preview and discuss. So, all right, man, thanks again, Kennington, and we will talk to you later, and to our listeners, we'll talk to you later as well. See you.